Well, if you can't stop thinking about Jennifer Aniston, honey, we can tell you why.
Now, Chewy and Sherry are out today, but hanging with us again is our homie, friend, and entertainment journalist and TV host, Tanner Thomason. What's up, G?
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Headcrack. You know, I love hanging out with you guys. Later, we're going to be telling you what actor turned down 29 milli to do a sequel to one of his hit movies and why. But what do we have up first, Brett?
Well, it looks like Drake wasn't on Snoop Dogg's favorite rappers list once upon a time. In an interview, Snoop admitted he felt foolish for thinking the Six Gods music career wouldn't last long when he first heard him. He told reporters, "That man ain't going nowhere. What was I thinking?" But that's what we do in hip-hop. We limit until somebody goes over the limit. And that's what he did. That's what hip-hop is to me. He probably took all that in when he was hearing all that about, "You're only going to be here 3 or 4 more years," and was like, "All right, that. Watch what I'm finna do."
Absolutely.
He definitely got that "I'll show you" face.
I think he did that, say that about Poe Drake because he's light-skinned. And, you know, most probably thinking most light-skinned guys are soft.
No, Gary.
You don't think?
No, I don't think so.
I have to agree with Gary, especially if you look at Drake on his first couple, like, you know, mixtape covers.
Yes.
He looks very punchable. And, yep. You know what I'm saying? And, like, you know, especially with a guy that's kind of, like, singing a little bit too, he didn't really come off like everybody else in the business, which gave him the advantage because he didn't come off like everybody in the business and it worked for him.
Exactly.
True story, Headcrack. Like, when you think about Drake, you don't think about it as somebody like rapping hard. Like, you know, Drake doesn't come off to me like a tough guy. You know, he doesn't quite sing, he doesn't quite rap, but it's always cool.
And, you know, in the game of hip hop, when somebody says something negative about you, it definitely motivates you to go harder. So that's almost like our fuel. When you doubt me, I'm going to prove you wrong.
So what do y'all say to people, y'all, who doubt y'all ability? What do you say to the people?
It make you go harder, Gary. It make you want to say them, and you go harder. That's exactly what it does. It motivates us. It drives us to be better and great.
Yeah, I like when they
Success
go harder.
Success is the best I'll show you.
I know you do, Gary.
Yeah, Gary. Oh, we know, Gary. Okay, all right. Whoa. It looks like Keanu Reeves is once again being generous, but this time with his stunt team on John Wick Chapter 4. So reportedly, Keanu surprised his 4-man stunt crew with individually personalized Rolex Submariner watches during a dinner after wrapping the film. This watch, y'all, is worth about $9,000 for one. So do the math. We're talking about $45,000-$50,000. And one of the guys took a photo of the watch and he put it up on his Instagram, calling it the best rap gift ever. Doesn't that look dope?
That is live. I kind of want one.
I love that Submariner watch, honey. I love the Rolex watch, first of all, honey. But my thing is this, though, y'all. What do I have to do, honey, to get a Rolex from Brad and Headcrack? What do I have to do?
Be a different person?
You'll have to be okay with getting a fake Rolex.
He is not okay with that.
Thank you, man.
It ain't coming from neither one of us, Gary. Thank you and have a nice day.
Oh, you're
there
so
might be
welcome.
A second X on the Rolex I get for you, but, you know, it's the thought that counts.
Get you a Swatch watch.
Well, maybe Jay-Z is a businessman and a member of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, but he's still got them hands. So in a clip from TV One's Uncensored series, The Snowman, a.k.a. Jeezy, revealed Jay-Z once backed him up during a fist fight in Las Vegas. Check it out.
And me and Holden been in some, like, you know, a lot of people don't know, like, we've been in some fist fights and everything, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, some things popped off in Vegas. God bless the dead, Shakir Stewart, my brother. And I gotta say, Hov got hands, because me and him was getting down. We was back to back, you know what I mean? And I heard his assistant saying, "Jay, get in the car." He's like, "I ain't leaving Jeezy." I was like, "Yo, I rock with him."
This is probably when Jay-Z still used to wear the jerseys.
Yeah.
Well, he sure didn't do a good job against her. He may have backed him up and all that stuff, but he didn't do a damn good job, honey, when he was going up against his beautiful sister-in-law, Miss Solange, baby, honey. Nah, I wonder if there was the security there.
Because he's not getting ready to hit no woman. What? You can't do nothing.
You don't get no points for beating up Solange.
Well, hey, I mean, honey.
At least he showed he could block. He showed us his block skills in that elevator. It was pretty impressive.
Yes, he did.
All right, Gary, man, if Headcracker or myself got in a fight, God forbid, if we're out here, some people came up on us. Do you have our back?
Of course. If I wouldn't let nobody fight you in Headcrack. I mean, because my thing is, if that was to happen, I mean, I would have nobody to be to protect me. So I would definitely, honey, have y'all backs. Most definitely. My back would be up against your back.
Appreciate that.
I feel like he would have our backs in a way, like if we got knocked out, he would rub our back as we laid on the ground.
It's going to be okay,
yes,
baby.
Honey, I would.
Like, you guys okay? You guys okay? The ambulance coming. You'll be all right.
All right, well, if you're obsessed with Jennifer Aniston, I may have the answer to why that is. Dr. Ben Ryan posted a video to TikTok explaining evidence that suggests Jennifer sparks a specific brain response when we see images of her called the Jennifer Aniston neuron. All right, take a look at this.
Look at this picture. There is scientific evidence that when you look at this, or this, or this, there is probably one neuron, one cell in your brain that is activated by all of those photos. This landmark paper studied 8 people who had electrodes implanted into their brain, and those electrodes could record brain signals. When they showed them various photos of Jennifer Aniston, they found that there was one brain cell which fired. That's what brain cells do when they're active. But this brain cell did not fire when they were shown Kobe Bryant or a spider or a dolphin.
Okay, now the whole thing is like every person that you remember has a neuron. Like they all have little neurons in your head. So this study first came out in 2015. Do you guys believe this? Do you have a Jennifer Aniston neuron?
Huh?
No. I have no idea what the hell this is or what's going on.
I would probably swipe Jennifer Aniston out with Doja Cat because Doja Cat does have that effect on me, especially when I hear the same thing.
Listen, but, yeah. I got 2 or 3 Doja Cat neurons. I'll tell you that right now.
My Doja Cat neurons are always firing. Anybody for you, Gary?
Gary, yeah. Who's filling up all your neurons, Gary?
Oh, probably head crack.
Lord have mercy. That's too much information, child.
I don't even know how to respond to that.
There we go.
Thank you. All right, y'all, moving on. It looks like Will Ferrell isn't afraid to turn down a fat paycheck. In an interview, Will claimed that he turned down $29 million for the sequel to his 2003 film, Elf. He said, I would have had to promote the movie from an honest place, which would have been like, oh no, it's not good. I just couldn't turn down that much money. And I thought, can I actually say those words? I don't think I can, so I guess I can't do the movie. Wow.
Do you know how many lies I would tell for $29 million?
Okay.
this guy, he wasn't feeling the movie, and he thought promoting it was going to be him lying. I'm going to tell you right now, I would promote a lie movie for $10. $29
million? Right.
And the crazy thing is, like, you know, Elf is one of the most beloved holiday movies of all time.
Yes.
Like, I watched the whole documentary about how, like, Will and the director, Jon Favreau, didn't really get along, but sometimes for the check, you just gotta fake it and just get to the bag, yo.
$29 million?
Life-changing money.
Hey, Brett, could you turn down, first off, could you turn that down that $29 million? And have you ever been in a scenario where you've just like had to get along with somebody for the check?
Yeah, absolutely. It's called acting. Some things you have to do that way. You know, everything is not going to always be something you like that you have to do in life in general. And hell yeah, I would take that money. I'd be like, yeah, I like you, but I really don't. You know, of course, yes, I would take it.
All right, so Gary, for $29 million, would you do a movie that had full frontal and you had to like actually like commit to a love scene with a person? $29 million. And that person's a woman.
Who, me? Oh, honey. Yes, ma'am, baby. I would transform quickly, honey. Yes, Lord. And I get my blood pressure up, too. So, baby, yeah.
You just asked Gary if he wanted to do a porno. And suddenly, I got obsessed with the idea of Gary being the star of Elf, too. And I would watch that movie in a heartbeat.
Now, that would be fun.
Thank I would, too, actually.
Up next, Coco from SWV shows us how weak she got baby on her knees, honey, at her concert. We'll explain after the break.
Dish Nation. Dish Nation.
And we are back, y'all. Will somebody please help lead singer Coco Clemens from SWV? She got weak in the knees. Did she pass? Out, y'all. Oh, my God. Oh, wow. Recently, Jesus. While on stage in Mexico, y'all, the singer scared her groupmates Taj and Lily when she fainted. Coco took to Instagram and posted a pic of SWV with the caption, I'm so grateful for my sister on my left and my sister on my right. I gave them quite a scare. I literally got weak in the knees and passed out in Mexico, but they helped me through it and we made it do what it do. Woo!
Oh. Yeah, I'm happy that she's okay because, you know, Coco and SWV, they're national treasures.
Yeah.
And it's dope that she's able to, like, poke fun at herself.
Yeah.
But this is crazy. Like, of all the songs that she would pass out on, it would be weak.
Weak in the knees.
Okay. Now, my thing is, did she fall while she was singing weak, or how did that go?
I don't know. That would be crazy.
Headcracker, have you guys ever had something, like, go really wrong with one of your performances?
I mean, maybe a DJ missing a cue or something like that, but I ain't never passed that at a show. You know what, though? Okay, about a year ago, this young lady who be singing on the hooks for some of my records, she go by the name of Kiva Soul Lily, so talented. She literally broke her knee while on stage.
Oh,
like,
wow.
Like, she, like, hopped on stage all happy and, like, yo, that knee wasn't ready. Apparently, it was made of peanut brittle. It snapped live on stage, but she still sang while she was rolling around on the ground.
The show
it was
must
like Stevie
on.
Wonder, but on the ground.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh.
All right, Real Housewives of Potomac, honey, Grand Dame, honey, Miss Karen Huger said that she loves her husband, Ray, honey, and ain't no vow renewal baby curse is going to keep her from marrying him again.
That's right. Karen ain't scared, and she went ahead with the renewal, which was filmed for Housewives in celebration of her 25th anniversary. During an interview, she said, "I don't believe in the curse. I believe if your marriage is going to end, it's going to end anyway. I'm not going to skip such a historic moment in our relationship. If your relationship is in trouble, it's going to fall apart anyway. So put a gown on and bet on you and him." I kind of think she's got a point. What do you guys think? Is there really a vow renewal curse?
I mean, I think once you reach the 25-year mark, you're kind of like, you know, you made it past most of the turbulence.
Yeah, but if I'm not mistaken, though, Brad, help me out. Didn't Mariah Carey get married every year to Nick?
Yes, they renewed their vows every time, yes. And it was amazing and beautiful, yeah.
It was a curse, honey. They ain't married no more.
No, it's definitely not a curse. When you're in a relationship and you want to keep it fresh and do dope things, like, that's amazing to keep renewing your vows. I would renew mine every anniversary, every birthday, every everything to make sure that my baby know I'm going to be here forever, regardless to what happens. Things work different for different people.
That's so
Brad, I love that. I feel like people need a little something to celebrate every now and then. I think that's a
right.
great idea.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I also feel like people should also maybe renew their vows every year, kind of like you renew your license every few years.
Exactly.
Sometimes it's kind of cool to get out of that contract. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So whatever makes your relationship keep going. All right, well, speaking of love, Emily Blunt serves hers in a dish. Now, the actress says she snatched up her husband, John Krasinski, by serving up some of her roast chicken. Now, Emily said, "I guess I just made something that I knew he would love, a roast chicken." Who doesn't love roast chicken? Mm. Now, she went on to explain that women usually serve this chicken to the man when they want him to put a ring on it. And it must have been finger-licking good because the couple's been rocking out for 5 years and going. So
I have never heard that. Now, Gary, you better get in that kitchen and snatch you up a man and give him something finger-licking good.
All right, now, Brad, for that baby. Now, I don't know, niece, but let me tell you, honey, you must have been cooking a lot of chicken because Judy, honey, gave you 3, not 1, not 2, but 3 rings to choose from, honey.
Oh, I cook a good, mean chicken, honey. Lemon pepper, rotisserie, barbecue, thighs, wings, breasts.
Man, to get them 3 rings off top, you must have been serving falcon meat.
All right, y'all, let's finish this show, y'all, so I can get in the kitchen, baby. Now, coming up, would you believe, y'all, that Cher could have been a vampire? We'll explain after the break.
Dish Nation. Dish Nation.
Okay, now it's hard to picture anybody other than the late Aaliyah playing Akasha in the vampire movie Queen of the Damned. But director Michael Reimer recently shared that the role could have gone to none other than Cher. Can you believe it? He said, "I had a number of meetings with actresses, including Cher. I drove out to a Malibu house. There she is sitting in this chair, and she was really already quite a viable Akasha." Now, Gary, if you could turn back time, would you put Cher in that role or not?
I probably wouldn't, but I would put her as Rusty, though. You know, when she played in Mask, I think that was a great role for her. But with Aaliyah playing that role, I think it was made for Aaliyah.
Just think about that movie poster. Like, Aaliyah made that movie poster iconic. Can you imagine, like, Cher hitting that pose? I mean, no shade to Cher, but, like, Aaliyah really killed it.
Like, I can't even picture Cher doing it unless she's playing, like, Aaliyah's grandmother or something like that. Because she's like a vampire. Like, she's been around forever, and she's, like, 80-something, and she still look good. So she preserves herself
Cher
well.
Cher's up there. It also looks like she avoids the sun.
She loves some good surgery, I'm sure, honey. So you look good, too, at 80. Baby, so, but I like Cher, though. I loved all her Bob Mackie gowns, all of that, honey.
Yeah, she was the ha-ha back in the day.
I do think it's important to shout out the director, Michael Reimer. Is that right? Because his whole thing was, he said that he ended up not wanting Cher because, quote, I just had a very strong belief that if we were going to do African Queens, we had to have a person of color. I said that to the studio. And I mean, like, shout out to that guy. I mean, wouldn't that movie come out in the late 90s, you know?
Yeah, he was definitely ahead of the curve because you definitely don't want another Cleopatra situation because, like, you know, people still complain to this day that they had Elizabeth Taylor playing Cleopatra, and that is not what Cleopatra would have looked like.
But that was before Michael Jackson's song came out, Black or White. He said, it doesn't matter if you're black or white, so they should stop.
Okay, y'all remember the show The Girls Next Door, right, with Hugh Hefner's girlfriends? Well, y'all, Bridget Marquardt, who starred on the show, she shared that the late Playboy found it came to her in a dream, honey. Oh, Lord, it was all a dream. She said it only happened once, and it was the craziest thing. This particular dream was so real, I could feel, smell, like all the senses were in play. And he gave me a big hug, and I could feel his smoke and the satin on his smoking jacket. I could smell his cologne. It was just so real. Now, Tanner, when you think of ghosts, do you ever picture any ghost quite like this?
First off, I would call this Boo Hefner, but no, I haven't. Like, I never thought about, like, I'm not dreaming about Hugh Hefner ghosts. I'm always thinking about, like, old school ghosts from, like, way back in the day. I don't know why I never,
like,
think about
Marilyn
modern
Monroe.
Ghosts.
Right.
Like, it's never a ghost roaming down your hallway being like, yas. You know, it's never like a new ghost.
You know, because if there's anybody who probably misses being alive, I'm sure it's Hugh Hefner. I mean, the dude literally lived a hell of a life.
Yes.
Had, like, some of the baddest women in the world living at his crib.
In his bed.
Right. It's one of those rare situations where I was like, I don't know. I think the Playboy Mansion might have been better than heaven. I'm not sure. Don't strike me.
Okay, all right, coming up, one Bachelorette star did things a little differently when her engagement ended. We're going to explain that after the break.
Dish Nation. Dish Nation.
All right, y'all, The Bachelor is still all about finding love, but what happens if the love doesn't last? Well, if the engagement is called off within 2 years after the last episode's air date, the ring must be returned. While most of the Bachelorettes gave their rings back, Allie F. got to keep hers. After calling off her engagement after 18 months, producers told her to keep it because it is emotionally valuable to her.
Aww. That's not fair.
Why
you can't be making exceptions if the rules are the rules. She need to run that ring back.
The entire Bachelor series, all those rings come from Neil Lane, right? So he, like, designs the rings. And he also said that he doesn't know what happens to the rings when they get returned. And I'm just like, yo, Neil, you need to start getting on your people. Gary, if you were the Bachelorette and the engagement was off, would you return the ring?
Oh, Tanny, I would most definitely return that ring back. But, Tanner, before I return the ring, I would be sure to go to my favorite jeweler, and I would have him to put a CZ in that where the stone is. Take the real stone out, put a CZ in it.
Gary, how many wedding rings are you just holding on to?
Honey, I'll hold on to all of them, Tanner. If you think I'm going to be walking around with this nice big diamond on, honey, and then everybody's, oh, that's so pretty, and people loving my ring, and then we break up and I got to give it back, it's like the damn ring was on loan. No, ma'am.
Oh, my God,
I'm sure
Gary.
Gary has a collection of rings like Michael Jordan, and I think that's sometimes he puts them on his fingers and takes pictures with him and poses with him.
Thanks for checking out Dish Nation on Audio Boom. Make sure you listen to any episodes you may have missed. They're right down below, or maybe they're over there. Just scroll up. Look, you'll find it. If you like what you heard, share it with your friends. Even share it with your enemies. Either way, share it.